eager to hear of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. But who knows these pastimes? There's one person in Dwarka, besides Krishna and Balaram, who had personal eyewitness experience. That is Rohini Devi. You see, Rohini Devi was the wife of Vasudev. When Vasudev was put in the prison house of Kamsa in Mathura, he sent Rohini to take the protection of his cousin brother, Nanda Maharaj, in Gokul. Rohini, always at the side of Yashoda, witnessed the intimate leelas of Krishna and Balaram. Rohini Devi told the queens that if I begin to speak Vrindavan Leela, immediately Krishna and Balaram will know that I'm speaking Braja Leela, and they will come to hear, and they will become so much ecstatic, I won't be able to continue my narration. So if you want me to speak, someone must guard the door and tell us when Krishna Balaram are coming. Subhadra said, I will do it. I am their sister. I will stop them. Subhadra stood right in the center of the doorway. Rohini Devi began Vrindavan Katha. Krishna Balaram immediately understood, Vrindavan Katha is going on, let's go listen. Meanwhile, upon hearing about the love of the residents of Braja, Subhadra became ecstatic. Her arms entered her body, her legs entered her body, her eyes became dilated, she had a huge ecstatic smile on her face, and she became as paralyzed as a piece of wood. Standing in the center of the doorway, Krishna came and stood on one side of her and Balaram on the other side, listening with rapt attention to Vrindavan's Leela. As Rohini Devi began to explain the loving devotion of the gopis, and the topmost of all gopis, Srimati Radharani, what is her love for Krishna? What is her leela with Krishna? Upon hearing the glories of Srimati Radharani, Krishna and Balaram entered into such an intense state of separation from Vrindavan that their arms and legs entered into their bodies, their eyes became enormously annihilated, an ecstatic smile stood on their face. They became paralyzed like pieces of wood. At this moment, Narada Muni, playing upon his veena, Narada Muni bhajai veena radhika ramana name, happened to see this darshan of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram. He started to cry out in ecstasy, I have seen, I have seen! I have seen this darshan! The most beautiful, illustrious darshan of Krishna in his Mahabhava Prakash, showing his ecstasies due to the separation in his heart due to his love for Radharani. At that moment, Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra resumed their original forms. But Narada Muni said, I've already seen it. He prayed to Lord Jagannath, Krishna, for a benediction. Krishna said, I will award whatever benediction you desire. Let there be somewhere on this earth where this particular darshan that I have seen of you, Krishna, along with your brother and sister, in the ecstasies of separation from Vrindavan and the love of Sri Radharani. Let this darshan be somewhere on earth always. Krishna said yes. Just north of the southern sea, just south of the Mahanadi River, is a hill called Niladri, which is in the very heart of Purushottam Kshetra, my eternal abode. On the top of that hill, these forms, Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra, will be installed. They will give their darshan. And anyone who comes and sees those forms of mine will be liberated of all their sinful activities. And anyone who worships these forms with devotion will attain my eternal abode. Sri Jagannath Swami Ki! Narada Muni explained that this is the will of the Lord to appear in this form. Now we should build a temple for the Lord. Maharaj Indrajumna brought together actually, upon seeing the deities, King Indrajumna was so satisfied. He surrendered to the form of the Lord. Then he began to give gifts, incredible gifts to all of his guests, especially the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. He put them on scales and gave them, equal to their bodily weight, pure gold, jewels and silver. He gave each Brahmin so many cows. He had millions and millions and millions of cows all standing together. And the weight of those cows pushed in the earth. And later on, it filled with water, that impression. And it is today called Indrajumna Sarovar. After giving charity and satisfying everyone to their heart's content, Maharaj Indrajumna brought his architects together to build the most magnificent temple on Niladri. When the temple was built, there was a great celebration. It was time for the installation of the deities. At that time, Lord Brahma told Indrajumna Maharaj that I will go now to Brahma Loka to invite Brahma to come and be the head priest of this ceremony. Maharaj Indrajumna asked, can I go with you? Narada Muni said, let's go. By Narada Muni's grace, they went directly to Satyaloka. The gatekeepers saw Narada Muni and said, this is our great fortune. When you come to Brahma Loka, it is a great festival for all of us. He asked, we want to see Lord Brahma. The gatekeeper told him that Lord Brahma presently is singing beautiful songs to glorify Lord Krishna. He told us that he does not wish to be disturbed until he finishes his song. A moment later, Brahma called them in. When they came before Lord Brahma was so happy to hear the news. He said, certainly, I will personally come to install the deities of my dear most worshipable Lord, Sri Jagannath. But, King Indrajumna, there is something that you should consider. That while I was singing, time here is different than time on earth. A moment of here is like a millennium there. In fact, one entire manvantar, which means 71 cycles of yugas, have already passed on earth while I was singing that song. So as far as your ancestors, hundreds and hundreds of them have come and gone. So Indrajumana Maharaj again descended to the earth. When he came, the temple was complete. The deities were still there at the Mahavedi, where the yajna was performed. King Indrajumana Maharaj wanted to have a royal procession to bring Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, and Sudarshan to his new temple. According to Brahma's instruction, they created three carts, beautiful, divine carts, to carry each of the deities. Balaram was on one cart, Subhadra and Sudarshan was on another, and Jagannath was in the rear. That procession was the original Rath Yatra. Along with the procession, the devotees were ecstatically chanting the holy names. The chanting was so loud that the king of this area, of Utkala, his name was Gala, he happened to hear it. He came running with his armies. Who is so bold and daring to come into my kingdom to do some worship in this temple? He came to declare war against the trespassers. But when he saw the sweet mood of devotion and the incredible opulence in which the Lord was being glorified during this Rath Yatra, his heart melted. He fell down at the feet of King Indrajumana and said, "Who are you?" He said, "My name is Indrajumana Maharaj. 71 yugas ago, one manvantara, I was the king here." King Gala said, "I heard about you. You mean you came back from Brahma Loka to install the deities? We've been waiting for you." "Yes." As all the preparations were being made, they heard celestial hymns in the sky. As they looked up, Lord Brahma on his swan carrier was descending. Along with him, various devatas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, singing. Lord Brahma performed the installation ceremony of Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, and Sudarshan in the temple on Nila Parvat. This glorious historical event is praised by the Vaishnavas even today, many millions and millions of years later. After completing the rituals of worship with pure love in his heart, Lord Brahma initiated King Indrajumana with a mantra to the Lord Narasimha Dev. And told him, "You chant this Narasimha mantra, and all obstacles, all problems, all difficulties will be removed from your path of devotion to Krishna." Then Lord Brahma prayed with pure love at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. Maharaj Indrajumana has a pure heart. He has surrendered his life and soul only for you. Please, my Lord Sri Jagannath Dev, personally instruct him in how he can please you and serve you. Lord Jagannath then spoke. Arche Vishnu Shaladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnavi Jati Puri. The scriptures declare that one who considers the deity to be made of wood or stone, one who considers the spiritual master to be an ordinary person, one who considers a Vaishnav according to material considerations of caste or creed or education or wealth or physical condition, that person is jati buddhi. Hellish mentality. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is none different than his deity form. He is absolute. The Lord can appear in any way he desires. Just like the sun. The energy of the sun is all pervading in the form of the sunlight. Heat and light are manifested from that sunlight. In the same way, through any of Krishna's energies, he can manifest himself in full. That is his divine will. When the great Vaishnavas, according to proper procedures and devotion, invite the Lord to appear within the form of the deity, Krishna manifests in that form. Out of his causeless mercy, it is not idol worship. Deity means the divine form of God. Idol means a mundane object of this world. When the Western religions condemn idol worship, we also agree with that. But they had no proper information of the highest philosophy of bhakti, in which one of the nine processes is archanam, the worship of the deity. Krishna, with all of his opulences, appears just to accept our love and devotion so that we can personally see him, meditate upon him, cook for him, clean for him, make clothes for him, dance for him, and chant his holy name. Lord Jagannath, as Daru Brahma, with that beautiful smiling mouth, spoke to King Indrajumna and explained to him the science of how he wanted to be worshipped here in Jagannath Puri. Sri Jagannath Swami Ki. He explained the various festivals that he wanted to be celebrated for his pleasure. In this way, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra appeared here in Jagannath Puri. Since that time, this is considered such a holy place. Practically all of the greatest acharyas came here to worship Lord Jagannath. Lord Shiva appeared in this world in Kali Yuga as Sripad Shankaracharya. Although on the order of the Lord, he taught the Mayavad philosophy to accelerate the influences of Kali Yuga, in his own heart, he was a very dear, humble servant of Krishna. Shankaracharya came here and worshipped Lord Jagannath. One of the important aspects of his mission was to establish four dhams within India, in the four directions. In the north was Badrikashram. In the south, Rameshwaram. In the west, Dwarka, and in the eastern side, Sri Jagannath Puri. The seat of Shankaracharya is still here, close to the Jagannath temple. Brahmanujacharya, in great ecstatic love, worshipped Lord Jagannath here. But he was a little bit confused at the process in which they were worshipping Lord Jagannath. Because when Jagannath Dev instructed King Indrajumna, and as the traditions carried on over the millenniums, the worship is not exactly according to the standard scriptures. Now, Ramanujacharya was very strict. He was establishing very perfect, according to the Narada Pancharatra, the standards of deity worship. So he called the priests of Jagannath Temple and told them, this is not correct. It should be done like this. So they listened. Actually, I'm sorry. He called a meeting for them. He said, tomorrow I will instruct you. You are not worshiping properly. Ah, that's what happened. So the priest said, yes, yes, we will meet you tomorrow, and whatever you tell us, we will do. So that night, he wanted to get good rest because he had a major discourse the next morning. As he was sleeping, Lord Jagannath personally appeared in his dream, picked him up, and threw him. When he woke up in the morning, he was over 100 kilometers away in a place called Kurukshetra. He looked around and saw this deity and thought it was Shiva. So he began to fast. Then he realized it was Vishnu in his form of Kurma. So he began a festival and established perfect standards according to his principles at Kurukshetra. But he realized, Lord Jagannath doesn't want my standards in Jagannath Puri. He is pleased with the spontaneous, simple love of the tradition of the devotees here. A similar thing happened during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. There is a festival called Odinashasti, which is the beginning of the winter. And ceremoniously, Jagannath is given winter cloth to wear on that day. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees came for that festival. What a glorious darshan it was that night. Hundreds and hundreds of beautiful multicolored garments were offered to Lord Jagannath with flowers, jewels, everything. Brahmins were chanting beautiful hymns, and the devotees of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu were loudly chanting in kirtan the holy name. It appeared as if endless garments of brilliant colors were being placed on the body of Jagannath. After the festivities were finished, it was late at night, the devotees were returning to their homes. They walked Lord Chaitanya to Gambira. Then Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar Goswami were walking to their places. Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, I don't understand why they're offering starched garments to Lord Jagannath. It's against the principles of scripture. Starch is considered contaminated. Any starched garment must be washed carefully to remove the starch before you can offer it to the deities. But they're not doing that. They're offering hundreds and hundreds of starched garments to Lord Jagannath's body. Why? Swarup Damodar Goswami said, don't worry about it, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. This is what Jagannath likes. They've been doing this for so long, for tradition. Generations and generations they offer these starched garments. Pundarik Vidyanidhi replied, well, just because a tradition is going on for so many generations doesn't mean it's right. It's against the scriptures. They're putting contaminated articles on the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, but Jagannath likes it. What can we do? It's offered with love. Pundarik Vidyanidhi smiled and laughed. He said, "Yes, yes, yes, I'm only joking." Then he went to sleep. Should I continue? That night, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the incarnation of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the father of Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit, the incarnation of Sri Radharani, that supremely divine personality had a dream. He saw Jagannath and Balaram in great anger walking toward him. They were walking. Boom, 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 boom. Their eyes were frowning with rage. Pundarik Vidyanidhi did not understand what type of darshan this was. He was terribly fearful. Then Jagannath and Balaram came up to him and with their hands began slapping him in the face, slapping him again and again and again. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was screaming out, "Lord, Lord, please forgive me for my offenses. I surrender unto you. What did I do? Please tell me, what did I do?" Jagannath, in a wrathful voice like thunder, he said, "You offended my servants in the temple. They are offering those starched garments with love and devotion, and you considered it ordinary. You criticized them. You offended them. Therefore, you must be punished." Again, he was being hit. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was weeping and crying in ecstasy. "I beg forgiveness. I will never, ever judge your associates again. My Lord, please forgive me." Jagannath said, "You have not done such an offense. Therefore, I will forgive you. But do not do it again." When Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up in the morning, his cheeks were bright red due to being hit all night long. So early morning, he met with Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "Why are you hiding your face from me?" He saw his face. He said, "What happened to you?" Pundarik Vidyanidhi explained the dream. Swarup Damodar Goswami began to laugh in ecstasy. "Never before in any scripture have we ever heard of any dream like this. You are the reservoir of all good fortune. You have received such divine mercy from Lord Jagannath and Balaram." So we should not judge the way the pujaris worship Lord Jagannath here in the temple of Jagannath Puri. Should I continue?
No!
That did not sound very enthusiastic.
No!
What do you think, Mahamuni Prabhu? Sounds like you're just being polite. Should we continue? As your servant. This concludes the first half of today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Lord Chaitanya, after taking sannyas, was requested by Sachimata and the Vaishnavas of Navadvip, "Please do not go to Vrindavan to live. the same Krishna who performs his eternal Leela in Vrindavan is performing his Leela in the form of Lord Jagannath in Purushottam Kshetra. Please reside there. That way we can visit you regularly and continuously hear about your divine pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always eager to please his devotees, began his journey to Jagannath Puri. On his way, there is a deity of the name Kapoteshwar Mahadev near a very sacred river. No, I don't need. Yeah, bring it out there.
I can't give it to all the devotees.
You can, in your heart, you can offer it to all the devotees. You're all being shaded by his mood of devotion. Kapoteshwar Mahadev is between Bhuvaneshwar and Puri. Long ago, Lord Shiva performed such severe austerities there. He practically gave up eating and drinking and sleeping. And due to this, he became so slender and thin. In fact, he became small like a kapota bird. And the place where he performed those austerities in the service of Lord Jagannath was installed a lingam of Shiva of the name Kapoteshwar, because the Lord became slender like a little kapota bird. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before taking his bath in Mahanadi River, he gave his danda to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Said, please hold my danda as I bathe. So he held the danda for some time. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu then began to speak to the danda. Said, I am carrying the Supreme Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu in my heart constantly. Why should he be carrying you? Lord Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, Lord Chaitanya, in order to preach, took sannyas in Shankara's school, Ekadanda, but actually, he's really a Chaitanya sannyasi, so I will break this danda in three places. And besides that, when one attains the Paramhamsa stage, there is no need for a danda. And he's beyond Paramhamsa, he's the Lord of all lords. He broke the danda in three places and threw it in the river. Nityananda Prabhu ki! After Lord Chaitanya had the darshan worshipping Kapoteshwar Mahadev, he traveled on. Then he turned to Nityananda Prabhu and asked him, give me my danda. My lord, danda, I don't have it. What happened is, you were in some kind of ecstasy and you fell on the danda and you fell on me and we both fell down and the danda broke and I don't know where it is. Lord Chaitanya said that the danda is my only possession. As a sannyasi, it is sacred. It is said that all the devatas reside within the danda. That Karono Dakshai Vishnu, Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu, and Karono Dakshai Vishnu all reside within the danda. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish the principles that a sannyasi should live by. Therefore, he appeared very angry. But in his heart of hearts, he was very pleased. He said, You have lost my one possession, I will not go to Puri with you. Either you go first or I go first. The devotee said, my lord, you should go first. When Sriman Mahaprabhu saw the chakra From a great distance away on top of the temple of Lord Jagannath, he offered his prostrated obeisances because the chakra is non-different than the deity inside the temple. With great anticipation, he was walking very fast for the darshan of Jagannath. It was only a kilometer away, a couple kilometers away, but it seemed like millions and millions of yojanas. When he entered into the temple and saw the beautiful lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath, he ran to embrace him. But his ecstasies became so tumultuous within his heart that he fell to the ground unconscious. There was no symptom of life in his body. The guards were ready to beat him, considering him some sort of pretender. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest of all learned scholars and the spiritual master of the king of Orissa, had the Lord brought to his home. He tested the Lord and understood this is a symptom of ecstatic love. Soon the devotees headed by Nityananda Prabhu came and awoke the Lord back to his external consciousness through the very loud chanting of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great love for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking that he's only a small boy of 24 years old. How will he maintain his sannyas vows? He asked his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, What order of sannyas is he? Gopinathacharya told him he has taken sannyas from the Bharati Sampradaya. He said, this is not a high-class Sampradaya. I can elevate him to the Saraswat Sampradaya. Gopinathacharya said, what nonsense are you speaking? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead you're talking. He doesn't need your Sampradayas. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you are talking to a great scholar of the Vedas. According to the Vedas, the Lord is Triyuga. He appears in three yugas. He does not appear in Kali Yuga. Where in the scripture does it say that he will appear? Gopinathacharya began to cite scripture. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his students began to argue. Gopinathacharya became very, very upset. He said, your heart is like a dry oil cake. There's no nectar, there's no bhakti, there's nothing. Unless you receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can never understand who he is, even if he's standing right in front of him. You have no mercy in your heart. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, we're relatives, we're just having a discussion. Don't get so disturbed. When Gopinathacharya told what had happened, Lord Chaitanya said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya loves me like a father to his son. He's trying to help me. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to the Lord that in order for you to maintain your vows at this young age, you must thoroughly understand Vedanta philosophy. I will teach you. The Lord said, please teach me. In the Jagannath temple, for many days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya instructed him. Lord Chaitanya listened patiently and did not speak a single word. At the end of these days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you didn't ask any questions. Did you understand or did you not understand? Lord Chaitanya said, I understand. Vedanta Sutra, written by Vedavyas, is as brilliantly effulgent and self-manifested in his meeting as the shining sun at noon. but your interpretations are like dark, blackish clouds that completely obscure all the real purports of the scripture. Huh? How you say this about me? I am Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I am the guru of the king. Sannyasis, pundits come from all over the world to study under me. If you have a better understanding, you tell me. All right, I'll tell you. Lord Chaitanya explained everything, completely opposite from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then he explained the Atmarama verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in many ways. Lord Chaitanya taught Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Vedavyas himself wrote his own commentary of Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. From beginning to end, it only worships the divine eternal personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, with devotion. That is the real purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then manifested his forearm form of Vishnu, his divine form of Krishna. He even manifested the Sadbhuja, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya beheld a form where Lord Chaitanya with two arms was playing a flute. With two arms was holding the bow and arrow of Ram, and with two arms was holding the danda and kamandalu of Lord Gauranga. One day Lord Chaitanya came to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house early in the morning, knocked on the door. He heard Sarvabhauma wake up saying, Hari, Hari. Ah, the Lord was very happy. He got right out of his bed. The Lord said, I brought Jagannath Prasad. Sarvabhauma immediately offered his obeisances and ate it. Lord Chaitanya said, you're a Brahmin. Brahmins are supposed to take their bath and wash their mouth before eating Prasad. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya quoted from the scriptures that when Mahaprasad comes, even if it's old, even if it's stale, one should immediately honor it because it's none different than the mercy of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya became ecstatic. He said, the fulfillment of my mission has been achieved. A hard-hearted logician like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has now appreciated the greatness of Mahaprasad. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! After some time, Lord Chaitanya told the devotees that I want to search for my brother Vishwaroop by traveling through the provinces of southern and western India. The devotees pleaded with him not to go, but the Lord was intent. Then the devotee said, will all go with you? Mahaprabhu said, no, no one will go with me. I will go alone. Nityananda Prabhu said, but you need a guide, and I've already done all the holy tirthas, so I'll show you the way. And the Lord said, well, Nityananda Prabhu, I want a servant who will facilitate my vows and my mission. I'm a sannyasi. You broke my danda in three places. I wanted to go to Vrindavan. You sent me to Shantipur. I don't want to go with you. But what about the others? Who were the others? There was Damodar Pandit. I'm a sannyasi. Damodar Pandit is a brahmachari. He chastises me if I do anything that is not according to his conception of the scriptures. I will not go with him. And Jagadananda? When I'm traveling, I have to do what a sannyasi is supposed to do. I have to take cold baths in the morning, three baths a day. I have to sleep on the ground, and he's always trying to give me sense gratification. And if I don't accept his sense gratification, he will fast and become angry with me. He will not go. And Mukunda Dutt, when he sees me performing austerities, due to his humility, he doesn't say anything. He just cries in agony and seeing his condition, I'm in more misery. I will not go with any of you. So Nityananda Prabhu said, please, take one new man. someone needs to hold your extra set of clothing and your water pot, because your two hands are going to be utilized for chanting your japa and counting your rounds. We have this nice Brahmin of the name Kal Krishnadas. He will not complain. He will just be there to assist you. So the Lord agreed. For 2 years, the Lord traveled through South India. While he was gone, the king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparudra, approached Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, "Dear Guru Maharaj, I have heard from various sources that a very great sannyasi, effulgent like gold, is living with us in Puri. Can you tell me about him?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to explain. The king asked, "Can you arrange an interview for me to personally meet this great soul?" We have this nice Brahmin of the name Kal Krishnadas. He will not complain. He will just be there to assist you. So the Lord agreed. For 2 years, the Lord traveled through South India. While he was gone, the king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparudra, approached Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, "Dear Guru Maharaj, I have heard from various sources that a very great sannyasi, effulgent like gold, is living with us in Puri. Can you tell me about him?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to explain. The king asked, "Can you arrange an interview for me to personally meet this great soul?" He was told, "This is very difficult, because he strictly follows the traditions of a sannyasi. He will not meet any materialistic person. What to speak of a person in the position of a king? And besides that, he's not here. He's already traveling on a pilgrimage to South India." The king exclaimed, "If he's such a great person, why did you let him leave Jagannath Puri?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the absolute truth, the cause of all causes. He will do whatever pleases him. He has infinite, independent free will. If he wants to go, no one could stop him. When the king heard this, "You say he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because you are my spiritual master, from the very core of my heart, I agree and accept completely what you have spoken." Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard, this is how we understand Krishna. From the words of the spiritual master who have heard the truth in the Guru Parampara, there is no other way. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from South India, King Prataparudra made every possible arrangement for the Lord's comforts. It was he who arranged for the Lord to stay at the house of Kashi Mishra, because it's very close to the Jagannath temple, but at the same time it's very quiet and secluded. When the Lord returned, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduced him to the beloved servants of Lord Jagannath. Then he took him to Kashi Mishra's house. There Kashi Mishra greeted him with great love and devotion. And Sarvabhauma, or Lord Chaitanya, revealed his forearm form of Narayan to Kashi Mishra and placed his feet on Kashi Mishra's head. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya expressed the desire of king to the Lord. Sri Gauranga became very disturbed. What are you asking me? Do you know what you are asking me? He is a king. He is a materialistic person. He is associated with materialistic persons. For one in the sannyas order, it is abominable to meet a king. For one in the renounced order of life, desiring to cross over the ocean of birth and death, to associate with a materialistic person or a person who is similarly interested for material sense enjoyment is worse than drinking poison willingly. If you ever ask of this again, I will leave this place and you will never see me again. Soon after, Maharaj Prataparudra came to Purushottam Kshetra along with Ramananda Rai. He asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, did you ask the Lord, can I meet him? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained, King Prataparudra was so brokenhearted that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he has come as Patita Pavana Avatar to give his mercy even to the most fallen, the most insignificant, the most sinful. He's come to give his mercy to every living being except the most unfortunate of all fallen souls of the name King Prataparudra. If he is unwilling to give me his darshan because I am a king, then I will give up my throne. I will give up my life. Human form of life is only meant for self-realization. If the Lord will not accept me, I have no reason to continue my life. My body, my home, my family, my friends, my kingdom, my opulence, it is all utterly useless without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard the king speak in this way, he was very pleased that because you have dhritavrata, firm determination, therefore it is for sure that the Lord will give his mercy to you. You just wait. Be patient. In the future, you will disguise yourself as a Vaishnava, offer beautiful prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam to the Lord, and he will embrace you and give you his causeless mercy. Meanwhile, Ramananda Rai appeared to Lord Chaitanya at the Gambira. The Lord embraced him with great affection. Ramananda Rai explained that when we met on the bank of Godavari in Kovur, you instructed me to give up my government service and come here. I approached the king, Prataparudra. When I asked him if I could resign so that I could serve you personally in Purushottam Kshetra, the king became ecstatic upon hearing your name. Tears flowed from his eyes. His hair stand on end. He choked up in his voice and his limbs trembled. He said, you are so fortunate. The Lord has invited you to serve him. I am so unfortunate. Please, you go. You go. I will give you full retirement with complete payment. total salary for the rest of your life with increase. With all blessings, go and serve the Lord. Ramananda Rai said, when I saw the king's love for you, I was thinking in my heart that compared to him, I have no love in my heart at all. Lord Gorsundar's heart melted. Ramananda Rai, there is no one who has love like you. Because the king has pleased you, therefore it is for certain that Lord Krishna will bestow his full mercy on that king. The Lord quoted from the Adi Purana, where Krishna tells Arjuna that one who considers himself my devotee is not as dear to me as one who is the devotee of my devotee. Mad bhakta puja badika. One who is the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord is most dear to the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, you can know for sure that Krishna will give his full mercy to the king. Have you seen the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath yet? Ramananda Rai said, no, I came here first. Lord Chaitanya said, but this is not according to the principles of the Shastra. When you go to a holy place, you should see the worshipable Lord of the temple. Ramananda Rai replied that my body is a chariot and my heart is the charioteer. And my heart brought me right to your lotus feet. What could I do? Now you go see the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wrote a letter. He received a letter from King Prataparusha. The king said, if I cannot meet the Lord, if I am so unfortunate, then I will give up my kingdom on this very day. I will become a beggar in the street wearing an ivory earring. I have no attachment whatsoever for any of the things of this world. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya showed this letter to Nityananda Prabhu and the devotees. They were astonished to see the pure love of this king. They were thinking, they have to somehow or other soften the heart of Lord Chaitanya. So they made a plan. We will go to Lord Chaitanya. We will not ask him to see the king. Rather, we will just describe the qualities of the king in so many wonderful ways that the Lord's heart will become very much attracted to wanting to see him on his own. Let's go! They all went to Gambira and stood there, without speaking a word. Mahaprabhu inquired, why are you just standing there without saying a word? You appear to have something you want to say. Are you afraid to say it? Nityananda Prabhu said, yes. There is this king named Prataparudra. He's such a pure devotee. He wants to give up his kingdom if you don't give him audience. What are we to do? Lord Chaitanya said, do you know what you are asking of me? If a sannyasi deviates from principles, the whole world will speak about it. Just like a pure white cloth with a black ink spot on it. Everyone will just say, there is the ink spot. If I see this king, people will criticize me. What to speak of the people? What will Damodar Pandit say about him? If Damodar Pandit gives me permission, then I will meet him. all the devotees looked upon Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit said, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are beyond all rules and regulations. I can understand that this king has already received your mercy. You will certainly bestow your full mercy upon him. That is my conviction." Then Nityananda Prabhu, he said, "My Lord, why don't you just give us one piece of your cloth? If we give that to the king as your remnants, that may keep him alive for some time." The Lord said, "Do as you like." So the devotees went to Govinda, who gave him a piece of Lord Chaitanya's outer cloth. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya delivered that to King Prataparudra. King Prataparudra worshipped that cloth with the same devotion that he worshipped the Supreme Lord personally. Prabhupada calls it tadiya, the paraphernalia of the spiritual master, the paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is none different than the Lord, and it is worshipable. One day Ramananda Rai approached Lord Chaitanya, said, "My Lord, please see King Prataparudra. He's practically at the end of his life in anguish because you will not see him." The Lord said, "Bring me his son." This small child was brought by Ramananda Rai to Gambira. The child had a blackish complexion like a monsoon rain cloud, beautiful lotus-eyed, and he was dressed in yellow garments. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, immediately he remembered Krishna. In ecstasy, he embraced the child. He said, "Because you are reminding me of Krishna, you are my dearest friend." This is very important to understand. Who is our real friend? The greatest offering of love and affection is help us to remember Krishna and chant his holy name. The Lord embraced him again and again and again. Upon being embraced by the Lord, the child became ecstatic in pure devotional service. Tears flowed from his eyes, his hair stood on end. He began to tremble as the Lord bathed him with his tears. From that day on, the son of Maharaj Prataparudra became one of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he returned to his father heard what had happened. He embraced his child. Upon embracing his child, he experienced the same ecstasy as if he had just embraced Lord Chaitanya directly. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! After some days, on the full moon night of the month of Jyeshta, which is the celebration of Lord Jagannath's birthday, the day he actually manifested his Mahabhava Prakash, there is a ceremony called Snan Yatra, where Sri Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and Sudarshan come out of their temple for a public bathing ceremony. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in great joy witnessed the bathing of Lord Jagannath. But to their great sorrow, after the ceremony concluded, Lord Jagannath goes into seclusion for 15 days. Maravamananda Prabhu ki jai. Dandavat. Thank you for blessing us by your auspicious presence. Madhavananda Prabhu is one of the dearmost disciples and associates of Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj. That very, very great, exalted Vaishnava, who in such a munificent way broadcast the glories of Srila Prabhupada all over the world. The 15-day period is called Anavasara. At that time, Lord Jagannath is repainted and restored by the Dayatas and Dayatapatis. We spoke of the story from Skanda Purana about the appearance of Lord Jagannath in the Satya Yuga. Lord Jagannath personally instructed King Indrajumana Maharaj that during this Anavasara, the descendants of Vishvavasu, of the Shabara class, will take care of me. They will be in charge of my worship through the Ratha Yatra in the Gundicha temple all the way until I return to my abode. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not tolerate separation from Lord Jagannath. We were speaking yesterday how Srivas Thakur, while living in Navadvip, would have Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu dancing and chanting in his house every night. When the Lord accepted sannyas and left, it was impossible for Srivas Thakur to remain in Navadvip and see the places of the Lord's Leela without the Lord. So he and his brother shifted to a village called Kumarahatta, which is also the birthplace of Sripad Ishwarapuri. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the Lord could not remain in Puri without seeing Lord Jagannath. So every year, during the Anavasara, also called Navayovanam, Sri Mahaprabhu would go to Alalanath, where there is that ancient merciful deity of Alwarnath, originally worshipped by the Alwaris of South India. There is a stone near the temple where Sriman Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasies of separation, melted the stone. The imprints of his bodily limbs are still there for us to see today. Some days later, the devotees from Bengal, approximately 200, came on procession to meet Lord Chaitanya. Sripad Shivananda Sen, one glorious grihastha associate of the Lord, personally arranged everything for the entire journey from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. He arranged for residences, for food. He arranged to pay all the taxes through all the various territories. This was his loving service to the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often say to Shivananda Sen that you and your entire family are more dear to me than my very life. In fact, your family is my family. Such love he had for Shivananda Sen. Once Shivananda Sen told Lord Chaitanya that his wife was pregnant with a child, Lord Chaitanya became ecstatic. Srila Prabhupada explained, what business does a sannyasi have being ecstatic about having babies? But because it was done in such pure, dedicated love, he was ecstatic. He said, you should name your child Paramananda Puri, after my Guru Maharaj's godbrother. when Shivananda Sen returned to Bengal, his wife already gave birth, and he named him Puridas. A year after this, Shivananda Sen brought his wife and his baby. He presented his baby to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga gave such unique mercy to that child. He placed the toe from his beautiful golden lotus foot in the mouth of the child for him to suck. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. This little Puridas later became Kavi Karnapur, the author of Gorgano Deshtipika, Ananda Brindavan Champur, and other of the most important Vaishnav literatures. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard that devotees from Bengal had come, he sent a message to Lord Chaitanya at Alalanath. Although the Lord was bathing deeply in the ocean of separation, when he heard that the devotees were coming, he became ecstatic to see them. Immediately he came back to Puri to make all arrangements for the Vaishnavas. King Prataparudra was standing on the terrace of his palace with Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as the devotees entered Puri, loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hey! King Prataparudra was astounded. I have never seen such effulgent personalities in all my life. I've been living here in Puri. I've seen hundreds, thousands of kirtan groups, but I've never heard such sweet, beautiful chanting like this, and I have never seen such gracious dancing. Who are these people? Can you tell me? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained that these are the devotees coming from Bengal, the personal associates of Lord Gauranga. This chanting of the holy names, because it is offered in pure unalloyed devotion, it is not ordinary kirtan, it is Prem Sankirtan, the chanting of pure love. This is what has been inaugurated by Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. King Prataparudra, he asked, I know that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. I have complete faith. And certainly it is proved by the evidence of the scriptures. But why is it that so many great scholars and pundits, they ignore Lord Chaitanya? They do not give him the credit that is due to him. They are indifferent to him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained, it is not through the study of scripture that you can understand the Lord. It is not through penance, austerities, cultivation of knowledge, giving and charity. It is not by any amount of sadhana. It is only when the Supreme Lord personally, through his devotees, bestows his causeless mercy upon one that does the Lord reveal himself to that person. Gopinath Acharya then began to explain. Advaitacharya Srivas Thakur, King Prataparudra was struck with wonder to hear about them and see their love and devotion. Then he saw Swarup Damodar and Govinda coming with garlands and sandalwood to welcome them. They all offered obeisances to each other. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came out to greet them. He placed a garland with his own hands, covered their bodies with sandalwood, and embraced each devotee in love, satisfying all their heart's desires. King Prataparudra made every possible arrangement to facilitate each devotee's residential facilities. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally allocated them where they would stay, personally arranged prasad. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu taught us the principle of etiquette. Gopi Bharatur Padakamala Yora Dasa Dasa Anudas. Lord Chaitanya taught us there is no higher principle to aspire for than being the servant of the servant of the servant. Even the Almighty Lord Himself longs with unlimited eagerness to serve His devotees. After some days, a great festival took place. The festival of Netrotsava. Netrotsava means the festival for the eyes. After 15 days of seclusion, Lord Jagannath, along with Baladev and Subhadra, give their first darshan to the public. Sri Gauranga previously would always take darshan of Jagannath from Garuda Stamba. From those of you who are so fortunate to be able to go into Jagannath's temple, you know what it is. In my life, I can only hear from you what it's like in there. There is the deities of the Lord. There, and there is a large darshan and kirtan hall called Jagamohan. Behind that is Garuda Stamba. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his great humility, would stand behind the Garuda Stamba. In his ecstasy of seeing Lord Jagannath's beautiful form, he would see Jagannath in a threefold bending form playing upon his flute. In ecstasy, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would cause the Garuda Stamba to melt, and his handprint is still there to be seen today. Behind the Garuda Stamba was a ditch that would be filled every day with the tears of Lord Chaitanya. But on this day of Netrotsava, the son of Sachi Devi went directly into the deity room early in the morning to see Lord Jagannath. After 15 days of intense separation, they were so eager to see the Lord in his first darshan, they came right before the Lord in the place where the bhoga was offered. Lord Chaitanya and his associates stood there, motionless as pillars, eyes unblinking, staring upon the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes were like two very thirsty bumblebees eager for nectar. And Lord Jagannath's face was like a nectar-filled lotus flower. And those bumblebees were hovering over that face unblinkingly. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai! This is the eagerness in which the Lord was beholding the darshan of Lord Jagannath. For hours and hours and hours they stood having the darshan of Lord Jagannath. Tears were flowing from the Lord's eyes, but he was somehow or other trying to control them because they were blocking his vision. At the time when the bhoga offerings would take place, Lord Chaitanya would induce all of his devotees to dance in ecstasy, chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna. The next day, Gundicha Marjanam, which happens to be celebrated today in Jagannath Puri. And if ever this lecture ends, we will all go to cleanse the Gundicha temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for Kashi Mishra and the superintendent of the temple and told them, I want to clean Gundicha temple. I want you to bring brooms and water pots and all proper paraphernalia. I will personally clean with my devotees. They said, you are the Lord. You are worshipable. It is not proper for you to do the menial service of cleaning a temple, but if it is your desire, we will fulfill it. On this particular morning, Lord Chaitanya met each of his devotees. With his own loving hands, he placed a garland on them. He cooled them with sandalwood. Because this time of year, it's quite hot. And then the Lord gave each and every one of them, with his own hand, a broom to sweep. He instructed them how to clean the temple. They began to sweep that temple, getting finer and finer particles of sand, dust, and straw. Then he had all the devotees pick up their collection with their own cloths, as he did the same, and bring them outside of the temple. Then the Lord told him, the temple is still not clean enough. Lord Jagannath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is going to come to this place. Therefore, it must be perfectly cleansed. We must search for finer and finer particles of sand, dust, and straw. All the devotees swept again and put their piles all together. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sweeping with such enthusiasm, it appeared that he had 100 arms to clean. And his single pile was larger than all the other devotees combined. When the Lord gave his word, there were 100 devotees standing with water pots. And they all began to wash the temple. Hundreds of water pots. The devotees were going to Indra Srovar and passing them from devotee to devotee to devotee. Indra Srovar was so crowded with devotees gathering water that soon they were getting it from other wells and other kunds. Thousands of buckets were coming, washing and washing and washing, and Mahaprabhu was encouraging the devotees with such enthusiasm and love to make this place clean for the coming of the Lord. They let the water out into the gardens. Then the Lord, with his own hands, was polishing the temple with his own cloth. Meanwhile, one Bengali Vaishnava, while the Lord was polishing the altar of Jagannath, he washed Lord Chaitanya's feet and drank the water. Lord Chaitanya was very disturbed externally. Internally, he was pleased. He said to Swarup Damodar, see what your Bengali Vaishnava has done. In the temple of the Lord, he has washed my feet. I do not know what type of a sinful destination I will attain for allowing this to happen to me. Swarup Damodar took the devotee gently by the neck and took him out of the temple. Then he returned and begged the Lord to forgive him. It is a fact. We have all made so many offenses to the Lord and his devotees. Only if the Vaishnavas on our behalf beg to the Lord and pray to him to forgive us will we ever be forgiven. The mercy of the Vaishnavas is our only hope. Therefore we pray. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Swarup Damodar also consoled the devotee. He said the Lord has to act this way just to show the people in general, but actually he is pleased with you. Meanwhile, the devotees, they were washing and washing and washing and wiping and sweeping. And the only single word anyone spoke was Krishna. Such a miracle. Whatever had to be done was perfectly communicated through the word Krishna. After perfectly cleaning the temple, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Narasimhadev and cleaned that temple in the same way, then induced all of his devotees to have ecstatic kirtan chanting the holy names. The kirtan, Lord Chaitanya turned to the son of Advaitacharya Gopal and said, Gopal, chant the holy names and dance. Gopal began to chant in an ecstatic love. He fell to the ground unconscious. Advaitacharya came running to his son and saw that there was no simple symptom of life in his body. All the devotees gathered around Gopal's body, loudly chanting the holy names. There was no effect. Gopal did not move. Then Advaitacharya and the devotees began to chant prayers to Lord Narasimhadev to save him, but nothing worked. Devotees began to cry. Their hearts were broken at the loss of such a dear devotee. Then Sri Gaurasundara approached the lying child and said, Gopal, rise. Gopal got up, and all the devotees, in great ecstasy, cried out the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After this wonderful, wonderful kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took everyone to Indra's Jumana Srovar to take bath. Such a lovely bath that was, in that ambrosial nectar. The devotees became so blissful that they began to perform water sports, splashing one another. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya got in a splash war. And Nityananda Prabhu splashed the water right in Advaitacharya's beautiful lotus-like eyes. Advaitacharya couldn't see. He started to chastise Nityananda Prabhu. What a misfortune. This outcast person, I don't know where he is coming from. Nobody knows his family dynasty. He splashed me in the eyes. Meanwhile, as all the devotees were paired off splashing, Lord Chaitanya turned to Gopinath Acharya and said, just see there, your brother-in-law. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's splashing and laughing with Ramananda Rai. Tell them that they are big, big aristocratic Maha Pandits. Why are they playing like little children? Gopinathacharya said, because you have bestowed your mercy upon him. This Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was previously such a hard-hearted logician, but because you have given him your divine grace, now he has tasted the sweetness of bhakti and he's ecstatic like a child. Lord Chaitanya then called for Advaitacharya and told him to lay down in his form of Ananta Shesha, and Lord Chaitanya in the form of Garbhakshirodakshayi Vishnu laid on Advaitacharya as they floated throughout into Jumana Sarovar. Afterward, there was a big feast prepared. Is that a hint that you're hungry? So many wonderful preparations. Lord Chaitanya, with his own hands, began to serve the devotees. But there was a problem, because Lord Chaitanya was so generous to please his devotees, his hand would hold no less than what 5 times each devotee could eat. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "My Lord, no one will taste any of the prasad until after you have taken. So please, you sit down. Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, they are all there. A place is arranged for you." So the feast was being served. But Lord Chaitanya, he knew each preparation that a devotee wanted at that moment, because he is the Paramatma of everyone's heart. So he was directing each soldier, each server, give him Rasgulla. Give him Malpura. Give him Sak. Whatever a devotee thought in their heart that they liked best, Lord Chaitanya immediately sent a server to serve them. And he told them, eat more, more, till they were filled up to their necks. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great ecstasy, had everyone chant, Harivo! Lord Chaitanya then called for Advaitacharya and told him to lay down in his form of Ananta Shesha, and Lord Chaitanya in the form of Garbhakshirodakshayi Vishnu laid on Advaitacharya as they floated throughout into Jumana Sarovar. Afterward, there was a big feast prepared. Is that a hint that you're hungry? So many wonderful preparations. Lord Chaitanya, with his own hands, began to serve the devotees. But there was a problem, because Lord Chaitanya was so generous to please his devotees, his hand would hold no less than what 5 times each devotee could eat. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "My Lord, no one will taste any of the prasad until after you have taken. So please, you sit down. Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, they are all there. A place is arranged for you." So the feast was being served. But Lord Chaitanya, he knew each preparation that a devotee wanted at that moment, because he is the Paramatma of everyone's heart. So he was directing each soldier, each server, give him Rasgulla. Give him Malpura. Give him Sak. Whatever a devotee thought in their heart that they liked best, Lord Chaitanya immediately sent a server to serve them. And he told them, eat more, more, till they were filled up to their necks. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great ecstasy, had everyone chant, Harivo! The cleansing of the Gundicha temple represents the cleansing of our heart. The heart is the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we so desire for the Lord to manifest Himself within our heart, then we must perfectly clean our heart with great attention by following the regulative principles. We avoid putting further dirt within our heart by hearing the glories of the Lord, by serving the devotees of the Lord, by chanting the holy names of the Lord. We sweep and wash our heart of all the dirt of the anartas of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and illusion. We must practice the principles of devotional service with great attention. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, if we want to see Krishna, our heart must be perfectly pure. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmarit punarikaksham sabayabhyantara suci. Krishna is pavitra. He is all pure. Man manabhava madbhakto. By always remembering Krishna, Krishna will purify our hearts. That is the process of bhakti. The next day is Ratha Yatra. Should I continue?
Yes.
In the early morning, Lord Chaitanya and his devotees rose to attend Lord Jagannath's Ratha Yatra. First is the Pahandi Vijay. At that time, Lord Jagannath is brought out of the temple to his carts. Ratha Yatra is the Lord's journey from the Jagannath temple, which in this particular Leela represents Kurukshetra, where Krishna is performing his Dwarka Leela, and bringing him to Sundarachala, where the Gundicha temple resides, representing Vrindavan. Lord Jagannath and Sri Balaramji, they are feeling intense separation for Vrindavan. They are so eager to return to Vrindavan. In their ecstatic anticipation, they are intoxicated like drunkards. You will see tomorrow, during the Pahandi Vijay, how Lord Jagannath and Balaram are moving like the Supreme Personality of drunkards. You have seen how drunkards try to walk. But that is just an infinitesimal spark in a perverted reflection of the supreme, purnam drunkenness of the Lord. You will see tomorrow. They decorate Lord Jagannath and Balaram with big, big crowns made out of bamboo sticks and various flowers and decorations. And as the Lord is moving, he is swaying backward, forward, sideways, intoxicated in separation from Brajbhumi. The deities are very big. They are being carried by the Daitas. So many. Some holding his feet, some holding his arms, his shoulders, some behind his head. Big, thick, silken rope is there to help carry him. The deities are so heavy that they have large pillows called tulis that they sometimes drop the Lord on. Actually, they set him on those pillows, but the Lord is so heavy, sometimes the pillows break and the cotton goes up into the sky to celebrate the glories of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra were brought up to their carts. Then the king, Pratapa Rudra, took the simple dress of a street sweeper, holding a broom with a golden handle. He performed the most menial service of sweeping the street for Lord Jagannath. As he swept, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted. This is opulence. To have greatness and power and still to be humble. That is the true opulence of renunciation. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, when they were living in Ramakeli, they were beautiful, they were young, they were strong, they were billionaires, they had palaces, they had strength, they were the prime minister and home minister of the entire kingdom. Yet any guest that came to their Bhagavad Kathas, they would personally come down from their seats, offer obeisances with great humility, serve them prasad, give them a residential quarters. They were very embodiments of humility, meekness, and the desire to serve the servants of the Lord. In the Indian culture, a street sweeper is such a low state. They're called bungies. Traditionally, well, even today, people would respond to nature's call by going into the fields. Now, in the cities of India today, there's not many fields. So people go to the railway tracks. You all traveled from Bombay to here, so you must have seen. But in the wealthy people's homes, just outside their homes, they had rooms where there would be holes in the ground and they would respond to nature. And then the bungees would come and carry whatever was left in baskets on their heads to another place. The content was called night soil. So therefore, street sweepers were considered very lowly. People didn't want to see them. People didn't want to touch them. Maharaj Prataparuja assumed the simple, humble role of a street sweeper before Lord Jagannath and his devotees. And Lord Chaitanya understood it was a genuine expression of his menial desire to serve. And his heart melted. It was then and there that the Lord decided that I will bestow my full mercy upon this devotee. The procession began. Lord Chaitanya, with folded hands, was crying out, "Mani Ma, Mani Ma," which is a traditional way of offering respectful greetings to an important person. They began to pull the enormous carts. Sometimes the carts would move, sometimes they would stop. Lord Chaitanya then divided his devotees into seven groups of kirtan, each with a lead singer and a lead dancer. The first group, the Lord assigned Swarup Damodar Goswami to be the lead singer and Sripad Advaitacharya to be the lead dancer. The second group, he assigned Srivas Thakur to be the lead singer and Sri Nityananda Prabhu to dance. third group, Mukunda Dutt, the son of Vasudev Dutt, whose sweet devotional voice would melt the hearts of the Vaishnavas. He was to sing, and the Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur was dancing in ecstasy. In the fourth group, the Lord assigned Govinda Ghosh, the brother of Vasudev Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh, to sing, and Srila Vakreshwar Pandit to dance. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang and Vakreshwar Pandit danced for 72 hours continuously in ecstasy. The Lord then arranged for the devotees from Shantipur to have a group to perform kirtan. The son of Advaita Prabhu, Achyutananda, was the lead dancer. The denizens of Kulinagram formed the sixth group, and Satyaraj Khan and Ramananda were the lead dancers. The devotees from Shikanda, headed by Narahari Sarakar and Raghunandan, the son of Mukunda, were the lead dancers. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go from one group to another, inducing all of them to chant. There were two murdangas and many karatals in each group. Altogether, 14 murdangas, so many karatals, and hundreds of voices loudly chanting the holy name. The entire universe was filled with the tumultuous kirtan of the Lord's holy names. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that crest jewel of all divine sannyasis, was going from group to group, inducing everyone to chant louder and dance with more love. Then a great miracle was manifested. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself into seven forms. He was personally dancing in all the seven Sankirtan parties simultaneously, and each of the Sankirtan parties were thinking that Lord Gauranga is only with us. He is so merciful. He does not leave our party to go anywhere else. And not only that, but Lord Chaitanya, out of his inconceivable powers, he was looking at each devotee, and each devotee was thinking that Lord Chaitanya is only looking at me. King Prataparudra, because he accepted the menial humble service of sweeping the street, was allowed to perceive this great miracle. He was struck with wonder. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, because of the king's humble service to the Lord, he was given two extraordinary forms of special mercy. One is he was able to see and understand what was going on. That here is Lord Jagannath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And that same Lord, Sri Jagannath, has appeared as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the spirit of the mood of the love of Srimati Radharani. Krishna is dancing for Krishna. It is two Krishnas relating ecstatic love between each other. King Prataparudra was allowed to understand and see this with his very eyes, and how the Lord was simultaneously manifested in all the seven groups at the same time. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested one form, all the devotees of all the seven Sankirtan groups formed into one circle around the Supreme Lord as he danced. The ultimate dance of love. When the Lord was dancing in order so that nobody could disturb his beautiful performance of Prem Sankirtan, The devotees formed three circles, holding hands around each other. The first circle was headed by Nityananda Prabhu, the second circle by Govinda and Kashishwar, his two personal servants, and the third circle by King Prataparudra and his ministers and family members. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the beautiful dancing of Lord Chaitanya. Tears were flowing from his eyes, sometimes shooting out of his eyes like syringes, completely soaking with nectar everyone around him. His body hairs stood erect like the thorns of the Shimuli tree. At other times, his teeth were chattering like a small child in the freezing winter. In fact, in such ecstasy, each tooth was trembling in ecstasy separately, and it looked like all of them were one by one going to fall out of his mouth. As Sri Mahaprabhu was dancing, his complexion would change colors from golden to pink to white, white in front of everyone's eyes. Sometimes when he would place his foot on the ground, he was heavier than the universe, and the entire earth with all of its mountains, forests, and oceans would tilt. Other times he became so light, like the finest fibers of a cotton swab, and the devotees just lifted him up and he floated in the air. Other times he whirled around so fast it looked like a firebrand. Foam began to fall out of his mouth like nectar descending from the moon. One devotee named Shubhananda, who was very expert at relishing transcendental mellows, caught that foam and drank it with his own mouth. As the Lord was dancing, the people were splashed with nectar. It is described that he was dancing in such a way that every single person in Puri could see it. The pilgrims, the servants of Jagannath, the residents, everyone who saw the dancing of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu before the Ratayachakart of Jagannath, immediately, pure ecstatic devotional service erupted in their hearts like volcanoes. They all achieved the ultimate perfection of life. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai! Sometimes when he was dancing, he made all the devotees so mad. One time, everybody just went mad and started dancing in all directions, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down right into the arms of Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra was feeling so blessed until Lord Chaitanya came into external consciousness. He saw the king, he jumped away, and in great disgust, he said, "How abominable, how pitiable, I have been touched by a materialistic person." King Prataparudra was mortified. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Actually, he's very pleased with you. But he just speaks this way just to teach his devotees." Lord Chaitanya would indicate to Swarup Damodar Goswami what was the particular ecstatic manifestation of love within his heart. And Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing beautiful prayers just accordingly. Lord Chaitanya repeatedly chanted the prayer, "I have again attained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I have been burned by Cupid and withering away." Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, explain the inner tattva of the Ratha Yatra. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the bhav of Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhavi Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. During the solar eclipse, Krishna brought Vasudev Devaki, his queens and ministers, as well as the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty, to Kurukshetra. By his will, the Brijavasis of Vrindavan came for that occasion. When the gopis, whose worshipable object of love, Srimati Radharani, saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, their hearts were simultaneously rejoicing to see Krishna after such a long period of time, but simultaneous in great pain to see him in the role of a great king. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the spirit of Srimati Radharani, seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra, began to pray to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani, and these are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. But I wish to bring you back to Vrindavan, to that Kadamba forest on the bank of the sacred river Jamuna. Here you are surrounded by royal queens, ministers, and armies. But in Vrindavan you are surrounded by the gopas, the cowherd boys, and the cows. Here there is the rattling sound of chariots, elephants, and horses. But in Vrindavan, the only sound is the flowing of Jamuna, the humming of the bees, and the sweet singing of the birds. Here you are dressed as a royal prince, but in Vrindavan you are dressed as a simple gopa with wild forest flowers around your neck, a gunja mala, and the peacock feather in your hair. Sri Radharani prayed, I do not find even a drop of the happiness here as I do in the unlimited ocean of happiness in Vrindavan. Please return to Vrindavan. It is said that the heart and the mind are one. However, my mind can never be separated from Vrindavan, therefore my heart is Vrindavan Dham. And you love Vrindavan. Please come and once again place your lotus feet in my heart by placing your lotus feet in Sri Vrindavan. I will consider that your greatest mercy and the fulfillment of all my desires. You have told us that we should meditate upon you in your absence. But we are not yogis. We are gopis. This instruction does not remain in our heart. We want to dance with you. We want to make garlands for you. We want to cook for you. We want to serve you in every way. We are drowning in the unlimited ocean of separation and being devoured by the Timangila fishing of our ambition to serve you. Have you forgotten your own mother, Yashoda, and Nanda Maharaj? Have you forgotten the gopas and the gopis who have given their lives for you only? Have you forgotten the river Jamuna who flows only for you? The Kadamba forests? Have you forgotten Govardhan Hill? Haryadas Varya, your most precious devotee who's dedicated everything only for your loving service? Have you forgotten the forest where you performed your Ras Leela? We know you have a soft heart. We know you are compassionate to all living beings. But why are you doing this to the residents of Vrindavan? Is it that you want to kill them? Or do you want to come back and save their lives? Dear Lord, why are you keeping them alive only to suffer? Please, return to Vrindavan. Sri Radharani continued through the prayers of Lord Chaitanya. I do not care for my own personal unhappiness. But when I see Nanda and Yashoda, hearts breaking, weeping in separation, I cannot bear it. When I see the gopas and the gopis on the verge of death, I cannot bear it. Please, for their sake, to keep them alive, place your lotus feet once again in Vrindavan Dham. When Lord Krishna heard these prayers of Srimati Radharani, his heart melted. He explained that the love that I have for the residents of Vrindavan is always prominent in my heart. You have given your lives and souls in total surrender to me. Of the residents of Vrindavan who have conquered my heart at every moment, the love of the gopis is most special. And first and foremost of all of them is you, dear Srimati Radharani. I cannot bear the separation from you. And I know full well within my heart that it is impossible for you to live in separation from me. Therefore, every day I worship Lord Narayan and pray to him for the benediction that in invisible form I come to Vrindavan to manifest myself within your hearts, to reciprocate with your love, and then I return to Dwarka. I cry day and night in separation from the Vrijabasis. Please believe me, I only left because I did not want Vrindavan sieged by so many armies of Asuras. Therefore, I went to Mathura. I already killed Kamsa, Jarasandha, and so many other demons who were harassing the Yadu dynasty. There are only 2 or 4 more demons I have to kill. After I annihilate them, which will be perhaps 20 days or so, I will return to Vrindavan. And therefore, I promise you, please believe me, I only left because I did not want Vrindavan sieged by so many armies of Asuras. Therefore, I went to Mathura. I already killed Kamsa, Jarasandha, and so many other demons who were harassing the Yadu dynasty. There are only 2 or 4 more demons I have to kill. After I annihilate them, which will be perhaps 20 days or so, I will return to Vrindavan. And therefore, I promise you, we will again, throughout the day and throughout the night, perform our leelas of love. Because of your pure devotion to me, I am most certain to return to fulfill all of your desires. When Srimati Radharani heard this, she became pacified. In her heart, and the hearts of the gopis of Braja, they made carts. In those carts they placed Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra and pulled them back to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explained during a Rath Yatra ceremony in San Francisco that Rath Yatra is the emotional love of the heart of a devotee to bring Krishna back into our hearts, the heart representing Vrindavan. This should be the meditation of all of us as we see the Rath of Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra moving along the grand road of Puri, that we are bringing Krishna back into the sanctified abode of our heart to reveal Vrindavan. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praying like this, Swarup Damodar Goswami was singing divine songs representing the love of Sri Radha. Lord Chaitanya, with his arms, he was dramatically enacting, like a drama, whatever Swarup Damodar was singing. Krishna, represented by Jagannath, and Radharani, represented by Mahaprabhu. And in this competition, Srimati, the procession continued. Then they came to the Balagandhi. At that place, all the residents of Puri are given the chance to make personal offerings of bhoga to Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. King Prataparudra with his servant brought hundreds and hundreds of preparations. The Brahmins brought hundreds of preparations. The citizens, there were thousands of preparations surrounding the Rats. At that time, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu entered into a garden. Does anyone know which garden it was? Madhavananda Prabhu, have you ever discovered which garden it was? Aitota. The Aitota garden. Lord Chaitanya lay down on a raised platform. And the devotees who were dancing very, very enthusiastically throughout the entire day for the pleasure of the Lord, they were all quite exhausted and lay down, each one under a different tree. At that time, the devotees blessed Maharaj Prataparudra, who was in the robes of a simple Vaishnava, to render personal service to Lord Chaitanya. Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you go, massage his lotus feet and chant the prayers of the gopis called the Gopi Gita from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. King Prataparudra entered the Aitota garden, bowed down before the Lord, began to massage his feet with great love. He sung the prayers beginning with Jayati Te Dikam. When Mahaprabhu heard the prayers of the gopis in separation, he became ecstatic and called out, go on reciting, go on reciting, go on reciting. The king continued his prayers. Then he came to the verse, Tava Katam Vritam Tapta Jivanam. The prayer which describes how the topics of Krishna's words, activities are like a flow of ambrosial nectar. And when they enter into the ears and the hearts, they purify all living beings and award them the ultimate perfection of love of God. And those great personalities who are the servants of the Lord, they broadcast these glories of the Lord throughout the entire world. Such persons are Burida, the most munificent of all welfare workers. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this prayer, he embraced Maharaj Prataparuja and said, "You are Burida, you are Burida, you are Burida, you are the most munificent, I love you." He embraced him and soaked the king with the tears of his love. Mahaprabhu Gauranga Ki! King Prataparudra was trembling in ecstasy. The Lord soaked his body with his tears, and King Prataparudra in return soaked the body of the Lord with his tears as the Lord embraced him again and again and again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are giving me such nectar. You are my best friend, but I have nothing to give you in return except my embrace." Then the Lord, in great love, he asked, "You have given me my life. Please tell me, who are you?" Hare Krishna. King Prataparudra replied with all honesty, "I am the menial servant of the servant of your servants. The only ambition that I have in my life is that you will accept me as the servant of the servant of your servants." Srila Prabhupada gives a most important purport to this verse. When Dhruva Maharaj was approached by Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, and offered any benediction, Dhruva Maharaj desired only one boon: to eternally be situated as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. When Sridhar Kolavecha of Simantadweep was offered any benediction by Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Kolavecha Sridhar was so poor. By material standards, he was in utter poverty. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes make fun of him. "Why are you worshipping this Krishna? What has he done for you? Look at the devotions of Chandrika, the devotees. They have such nice houses, nice clothes, nice food. Look at your clothes. There's more holes in your clothes than clothes." Sometimes he didn't even have money for needle and thread. He would just tie the two ends of the holes together in a knot. "And look at your body. You're emaciated, practically starving. Look at your house. It's just a straw shack. Doesn't even hold the rain away in the monsoon." Kolavecha Sridhar said, I'm happy just meditating on the Lord and serving his devotees. What do I need?" During the Mahaprakash at the house of Shivas, Mahaprabhu offered Kolavecha Sridhar any benediction. He offered him the wealth of Indra. Srivas said, "I don't want it." He offered him mukti, liberation. Sridhar said, "I don't want mukti." The 8 mystic cities taken. I don't want any cities. Elevation to the spiritual world. I don't want it. Then what do you want? Ask some boon from me. In this particular purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains what boon Kolavacha Sridhar asked for. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of you, my Lord, eternally. Haridas Thakur prayed, let me be an insect or a dog in the house of your devotees so that I can serve them by eating the remnants off their plates. Srila Prabhupada explains, thus we can understand by the great acharyas that the ultimate benediction we should be praying for and striving for in our life is to be accepted as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Maharaj Prataparudra that he personally revealed to the king his divine opulences. The king saw the darshan of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told the king, do not tell anyone what you have seen. After taking permission from the Lord, the king bowed down and returned to the outskirts of this garden, where the devotees were ecstatic because they saw that King Prataparudra had attained the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada instructs us in a very important lesson in this regard. What actually is a Vaishnava? A materialistic person is envious when they see someone else excelling over them. Similarly is the tendency that if someone else is receiving the special mercy of the spiritual master or of Krishna, to be envious of them. The definition of a real Vaishnava is one who, when they see someone else being specially empowered, specially blessed, that devotee feels rejoice in their heart. A devotee feels greater pleasure seeing someone else get the special mercy of the Lord than if it came to them personally. We can evaluate how much we are actually imbibing the spirit of Vaishnavism through this calculation. How much we feel happiness in our heart when someone else is succeeding by the blessings of the Lord, being empowered by the mercy of the Lord. The devotees embraced Maharaj Prataparudra and congratulated him. Because he pleased the devotees, Ramananda Rai, and accepted the menial service of a street sweeper, the Lord fulfilled all of his desires. Then the king sent a big feast into the garden of Aitota. Lord Chaitanya sat all of his devotees down. He was so pleased with them because they were dancing and chanting throughout the day for his pleasure. He began to serve them. Swarup Damodar again said, please, you sit down. No one will take until you take. The Lord orchestrated all the servers to serve each devotee till they were filled to their necks. But there were still large quantities of prasad remaining. The Lord wanted to feed everyone Jagannath's prasad. Ultimately, he called the poverty-stricken beggars of Orissa into the garden, personally lined them up, and had them served sumptuous, opulent Jagannath prasad. As he arranged the service of the prasad to these beggars, the Lord called out to all of them, "Chant Hari Bol!" Upon being touched by the merciful glance of Lord Gaurasundar, upon tasting the prasad from the hand of Lord Chaitanya, and upon chanting the holy names on the order of the Lord, all those beggars immediately attained pure, unalloyed devotional service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Patita pavana hetu tava avatara mosamo patita prabhu na paibeyara. Lord Gauranga is the most munificent, most merciful deliverer of the fallen souls, giving love of God freely. For what price? Kevala Ananda Kanda. Those who simply receive his mercy with humble hearts, hear his glories, and chant his holy name. Meanwhile, outside of the garden, it was time for the Ratha Yatra to continue. Maharaj Prataparudra had the Daitas pull the cart, but they didn't move. They pulled and pulled and pulled, but the carts would not even budge a fraction of a molecule. Then King Prataparudra got the biggest, strongest wrestlers of the kingdom to line up along the ropes and pull as hard as they could, but the cart would not move. This was a great wonder. Also, terrible anxiety. King Prataparudra brought the biggest, strongest elephants of the whole kingdom, harnessed into the carts. The Mahouts were stabbing the elephants with their elephant control spears, and the elephants were pulling and pulling, and the Mahouts were pushing and pushing, and the elephants were pulling and pulling. They were screaming, but the carts would not move. Lord Chaitanya came out and saw all these elephants pulling and pulling, struggling and straining. So he removed all the elephants, removed all the wrestlers, told the Daitas to stand aside. He personally took the ropes and placed them in his devotees' hands. Then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Sachimata, went behind the cart, gently pushed it with the top of his head. Jagannath's cart started trembling and moving forward. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And the devotees, they didn't even close their hands around the ropes. They didn't even pull it. The ropes were just laying in their hands, and Jagannath was moving forward. And thus they came to Gundicha Mandir. When Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra were put on their thrones in the gardens of Gundicha, Lord Chaitanya's devotees chant and danced in great love, feeling that Krishna has returned to Vrindavan. For 9 days, the Lord remained in the Gundicha temple. 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening, Lord Chaitanya would come with his devotees in the garden of Gundicha to chant and dance for hour after hour after hour for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. And during the nights, he would sleep in the various gardens close to Gundicha Mandir, especially he would have pastimes here in the Jagannath Vallabha garden. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during those 9 days, would often sleep here at night, have kirtans of ecstatic love with his devotees. During that time, the Hara Panchami festival took place, where a palanquin with Lakshmi Devi comes and chastises Jagannath and his servants because he's away from Jagannath temple for so many days. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, watched this wonderful festival. And there Lord Chaitanya had Swarup Damodar Goswami and Srivas Thakur have a transcendental competition in which it was proven that the sweet opulences of divine love of Vrindavan are supreme and victorious over even Vaikuntha. After these 9 days, Lord Chaitanya danced and chanted with his devotees in the same way during the return Ratha Yatra back to Jagannath Mandir. Today is Gundicha Marjanam. Just now we will go for prasad. Immediately after prasad, everyone please, as quickly as possible, go to Gundicha Temple to help clean. Then the rest of the day is free. You can go to Jagannath Temple. You can visit the Gambira, Siddha Bakula. I forgot. I'm being reminded. There is a practice for tomorrow's Ratha Yatra. What time will that be? 7 o'clock?
No, Maharaj, 5. Earlier the better. Immediately after Gundicha Marjanam they should come.
So, around 6:30, take prasad, immediately go to Gundicha Temple, and then don't go anywhere else. Due to higher authorities above myself. You can go to Indrajumana Srovar under the authority of Dinabandhu Prabhu. Take your bath. And then we'll meet 6:30 where? Singhadwaram. And it's important we all go so that we can organize very nicely the Harinam Sankirtan procession tomorrow. There's approximately 2,000 of us, and we are representing Srila Prabhupada and our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So we want to have a very beautiful devotional presentation before Lord Jagannath as we are dancing and chanting tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patithanam bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai.
Jagannath Maharaj ki jai.